Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same. I call your name. The echo is haunting. An echo can never be changed. So I call your name. Your name.
Hello, and welcome to Signs of Life Radio. This episode is dedicated to sharing personal experiences such as dreams, a vision, and after-death communications. We'd love to hear your story and invite you to share yours with our listeners. Many of us have personal experiences that really do defy mainstream thinking. Join us as we explore the types of experiences that people have, what they mean, and how we can integrate them into our daily lives. Although mediums provide a valuable connection to the deceased, this particular show centers around your direct experiences, which do not involve a medium or medium reading. I'd like to give you the call-in numbers, so grab your pen and paper. The numbers are 1-888-627-6008 or 1-323-744-4831. I am Janet Mayer, a certified medium with the Forever Family Foundation and author of Spirits They Are Present. I'm here along with my co-host, Dr. Betty Kovich, author of The Miracle of Death, There Is Nothing But Life, and Merchants of Light, The Consciousness That Is Changing the World. Our co-host, Kimberly Saavedra, director of the Camlock Center, is unfortunately unable to join us at this time, and we hope she'll be able to join us again soon. So welcome, Betty. How are you doing this evening?
Well, I'm doing fine. Thank you, Janet.
Good, good. Well, I was thinking that, you know, while we're waiting for callers, I was going to tell you this little story this week that we have somebody, a call-in right away, so we might as well just go ahead and take them. So good evening.
Good evening. My name is Anne. Great to
hi,
be with
Anne.
You.
Well, hi, Anne. Welcome. Would you like to share a story with us?
I would. It's about my son, Todd, who died when he was 16. He was hit by a car and killed.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it was very hard. Mm-hmm. But this happened about... 17 years later, I'd had other interactions with my son through mediums, just who tended to show up in my life. But on this particular afternoon, I had arrived home from work early. It was about 4:30 in the evening, or 4 o'clock even. And I decided, you know, I was going to go for a walk because it was November, but it was just like a gorgeous springtime day. And I wanted to be outside and walking. I'd been driving for a long time. Mm-hmm. So I got out, and I decided I wasn't going to take my phone. I wasn't going to take my ear, you know, plugs and listen to music. I was just going to enjoy the gorgeous day. So I walk out of my house. I go down the street, turn, and get onto a main road in my subdivision. And I hear this voice in my head that said, I came back for my father. Of course I'll come back for you. And then I take a few steps more, and I know it's my son, and he says, you know, you could get killed walking along the side of the road like this. And my son had never spoken directly to me, so I was just kind of taken aback. I knew it wasn't my own voice because it just wasn't. So I continue walking, and I'm thinking, well, where in the world in my subdivision can I get killed? So I think about that at the end, there's a T intersection, and I usually cut diagonally from the side of the street that I'm walking on to the center island and then diagonally down to the other side of the street because it's divided. It has a big, you know, has flowers and trees and a sign, you know, telling them the name of the subdivision. So as I'm approaching that, I remind myself to stay on my, you know, to turn right angles is what I decided I would do, is just take it at right angles, don't cut diagonally. And as I'm reminding myself, as I'm approaching the subdivision, I hear this screeching of car tires, and I look up, and this old Subaru is turning, making a left turn into the subdivision so fast, the guy's practically losing control of the car. And so I jump onto the grass because wow. He could have hit me even then. And I know that if I'd cut diagonally, I would have been killed. There was no question in my mind that I would have been killed by this car because he was going that fast and, you know, just that far out of control. So I don't know how I continued walking. I was just kind of like, my knees were shaking, and I was like, well, how could this have happened, number one? And then, oh, my God, everything else that he told me must be true, too, that he's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And
I agree, and I think that, you know, that is a beautiful story that you shared, because it shows how, you know, your son, your loved one, is still watching out for you, still there around you. And you said 17 years later, I mean, that's amazing. Yeah. And, I mean, you were definitely in tune and connected, and you listened, which is what you needed to do, because he saved your life. And I think it's wonderful that you acknowledged it and that you noticed and you paid attention. I think that's beautiful.
Yeah, and what did your son say? Tell me that again. I didn't hear that too well.
He said, He said, I came back for my father. Of course I'll come back for you.
Wow.
And I had already figured out through information that my son died on my birthday.
Oh, okay.
And my husband had a daughter who died of a brain tumor when she was 2 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
And she died the day after my birthday in 1969. So I've been getting these messages about death and rebirth for a long time. And when I figured out, looking at her death certificate, when she was born and when she died, it was very clear to me that and the other thing that happened was my husband told me this terrible story about when they first diagnosed her brain tumor. He got up to give her a kiss goodbye as he was going to work, and she'd been sick. She had like a flu or something that she couldn't shake. That's what they thought. And when he leaned over to kiss her goodbye for the morning, he noticed that her right eye was turned in. And he just blotted it out, but his wife took the baby to the doctor, and that's how she was diagnosed. And my son Todd, when he was born with his right eye turned in. He had a congenital defect. And he had a problematic relationship with my husband, I think because it was a reminder to him. And it was quite extraordinary. And so when I figured out that was possible, that his daughter may have been Todd, or that Todd was a reincarnation of his daughter, and then for him to say that I came back for my father, of course I'll come back for you. It was just so extraordinary. And then you've got to let me finish this part. I came back from Taiwan from Todd's best friend's wedding, and my mother calls me all excited, and she said, my son Jason and Kelly are pregnant. And I'm like, oh, I'm very excited for them. They'd been married like 4 or 5 years. And then my mother says, and the doctor told them that the baby's due date is March 27th, which is Todd's birthday.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Talk about meaningful coincidences. I mean, that are far more than that. That is,
yeah. It was pretty amazing.
That is amazing.
So my grandson wasn't born on his due date, but the morning of his birth, which was on April 4th, they're inducing my daughter-in-law because he hasn't come. And so I get at the hospital, you know, midday because my son's saying, you know, it's going to take a while. And, you know, I've been through childbirth. Of course, you know that the first time it always tends to be longer. So I get there around noon, get settled in thinking I'm going to wait several hours. And my son comes out and says, Paxton's here. They're just cleaning him up and Kelly up. I'll come get you in a few minutes. And I'm very excited. I'm kind of like, well, you know, how will I know? Will he know me? Will I know him? Will we recognize each other? I have no way of knowing, right? So I've got butterflies in my stomach. And a few minutes, well, about 20 minutes later, Jason comes out and takes me into the delivery room. And the baby is laying on top of Kelly, and my son goes to the opposite side of the bed, and I come in, and Paxton is bawling. You can hear it's an angry cry. He's just really ticked because he was in a warm, dark place, and what the hell is going on now?
Right. The nerve.
So I walk up to him, and I talk to him the way I used to talk to my babies, you know, I'd have them on my shoulder, and I'd talk in a soft, deep voice, and I'm like, oh, Paxton, don't you know how happy we are to see you? We're going to take such good care of you. We're all here for you. And so he stops crying, but his eyes are squeezed shut, and I keep talking. I'm like, we're going to take such good care of you. Mommy loves you, and he opens his eyes, and he looks straight into mine, and your daddy loves you, and I love you, and he breaks out into this huge smile, and I was like,
oh my God.
I mean, a baby doesn't smile at 30 minutes old.
Yeah, oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. And it is him.
Well, there's definitely a connection there.
Oh,
yes,
no.
There is, and it keeps on going. So I guess people just have to, in some ways, have faith as well as understand that, you know, this is real. This is true for all of us.
Right. And you know, every experience is individual, and it's, you know, what you feel and, you know, what somebody else may or may not feel. It's theirs and it's yours. And so what, you know, you definitely had many experiences happen around you. And I think that's wonderful that you've paid attention to them and that you're acknowledging them. And there's so much love. When you're talking about this, you can just feel this love pouring out of you. And I just think that that shows that the other side, you know, how connected you are to them, and they feel it too, you know. And I think that's really beautiful.
No, I like that.
It's been wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for calling in.
You're welcome.
Yes,
you're
and
very
so much.
Welcome. Okay, bye now.
Bye. Oh, that's so sweet. Did you want to add anything to that, Betty?
You know, I was just thinking how, for the father, that if he lost his first child, the daughter, when she was very young, and then if indeed Todd was that daughter, that he had to lose the child again, another child, you know, when at 16. That's difficult.
Right. Oh, extremely.
We just understand the reasons for those things, but that had to be hard for all of them.
Right. And, you know, and that's the thing. That's the where I think a lot of people, we all get caught up in, you know, the whys. And you can ask whys, you know, you can ask whys forever, and you still won't know. You just have to understand that maybe we came for the experience, and that we know when we go back, we're going to see our loved ones again. You know, we're going to be with them again, and maybe there's a connection in that sense. But, yeah, that's a tough one.
Yes, you know, the thing that I think that people ask why about the deepest is when someone suffers before they die. I'm in correspondence with a mother whose son had a brain tumor, and they couldn't relieve the pressure. It was a malignant brain tumor. Excuse me. So the child suffered tremendously for a very long time. And she's absolutely distraught because, you know, that's the big why. Would a child have to suffer a long time, maybe a year or two before the child died? And I think people are left with that big why about suffering, deep, deep suffering and long periods of suffering. And it's hard to get rid of the why, you know?
Right. Well, right. And then on top of it, you know, everybody, you know, the parents, they become really hard on themselves thinking, you know, could I have done anything or why, you know, why did this happen? And it's hard for them to let go. And you have to take that out of it, you know, take that factor out and say, okay, this is the situation. And, you know, what can I do? And what have I, you know, is there any understanding I can gather? And you may not, you know, but it's the experience. I think I always go back to that too, is, you know, we are here to experience and to love and to feel and to have all these different, you know, I guess sensations in a way of in our body and outside of our body. And the thing is that, you know, grief just really, when that, you know, happens, it just freezes you and it puts you into this place that, you know, it plunges you into a grief that you didn't think would happen, that you know eventually could happen. And so I think sometimes that's really hard too. But
it's very hard, and I know this particular person feels that even to stay in that deep grief is where a mother would stay, having experienced that long-term excruciating pain.
Right.
From the child. And so I, you know, have to simply say to her and myself that I don't understand that kind of suffering. It's a huge why.
Right, right. I mean, you've been through it on your own, so you know, you can say that. But it's really difficult. So I'm glad she called in a way to share her stories, you know, how Todd was there for her and basically kind of saved her, which that's wonderful. And I wanted to add, you know, the interesting thing about that is, too, is I loved the fact that when she said it had been 17 years later, because go on. I can't hear Betty, so.
No, I just had said I liked that very much, too, that it was 17 years later, and time is nothing on the other side, but we sometimes think it's been so long that real connection might be lost, and that was certainly a sign that it was not lost.
Exactly. And I think, like, you know, I had that experience where my grandmother came to me, like, I think it was over 20 years later after she had passed, to show me something and to warn me about something that was going to happen in the family. So, I mean, that was pretty amazing. And so when Anne was talking about her son coming through, I was relating to that because I know when my grandmother came through and I could see her and she gave me this message, it was, you know, basically a warning about something that was going to happen to someone. So I had, you know, heads up, and there wasn't a lot I could do about it. But... So
it's just that when we really have that experience of the presence of those we love who have passed to the other side, that's a marvelous and wonderful experience, you know, to know this is so much bigger, so much more intense and loving than we can even imagine.
Right. That's true. But, oh, my gosh. So I'm going to go ahead and share my story, that if we get a caller, I'll stop. But... I guess this past week I was thinking about our show and how, you know, it deals with synchronicities and coincidences and if we pay attention, how spirit's always kind of giving us these. And I was walking by the bookshelf at the time, and I do this little thing once in a while where I'll walk up to the bookshelf, I'll put my hand on one of the shelves, and I close my eyes and I run my hand over and I just grab a book. And then I pull it out. I'll pull it out, and then I just read, like, whatever page I open, I'll read a little section of it. Now, I was, you know, thinking about the show and writing down about the synchronicities and that. And when I grabbed the book happened to be Proof Positive, which is Doreen Malloy's book, she is a medium with Forever Family Foundation. And I just opened the book to this page, and it was page 139. And I'm going to read something, and I just found it really resonates because it says, here's how it might work. You may all of a sudden think of or hear a song that has a special significance, or a distant memory of your loved ones come to the surface of your mind. Or perhaps you may smell something that triggers you to think of them, or you might hear something said that makes you think of someone special. Through symbolic phenomenon, these are some of the ways that spirit might attempt to get our attention. And when I read that, I just started laughing because I was like, oh, there you go. That's exactly, you know, that was exactly what we would be talking about with our show, is how, you know, when a loved one comes through, you can, for example, this Anne heard, you know, a message from her son.
Yeah.
But you can also hear it, like you could see something or you could feel it. And if you're paying attention, you know, you're going to get the message. And that's pretty amazing.
Yes, and you say often about paying attention. That is so important because we've been taught to just dismiss things and say, oh, that was just a coincidence that has no meaning. And it's the paying attention. And, you know, there was one thing I wanted to add, too, tonight about anecdote, actually, is that I mentioned earlier Piero Calvi Parisetti, the medical doctor who wrote Step Into the Light, Transform Your Fear of Death by Learning About Life After Life. And I had mentioned the book earlier, but it's now out and can be purchased. And I love it for quite a few different reasons. But what he does is that he takes the scientific method, and he looks at all of the different forms of evidence that support life after life, and such as near-death experience, deathbed visions, reincarnation, after-death communications, and anecdotal material, which is what we are talking about so often. Mm-hmm. And he takes this from all religions and non-religions, atheists and cultural groups and different historical times. And he's so good. And if anyone who's listening knows someone who still has doubts about life after we leave this physical world, it's a wonderful book for them because it takes all of these different kinds of experiences and shows the value of each one, the value of the experience. And then he says, when you put all of these different types of experiences together and the evidence that they carry with them, it's that collective weight that is the proof, you might say. But just about anecdotes, he says, you know, scientists really should be called to task about the fact that they don't take anecdotes seriously. And we know they don't.
Right.
You know, that's just anecdotal. He says, after all, the whole judicial system rests on people's testimony. And actually, when we never have I thought that when someone is telling me an anecdotal experience that they've had that has changed them and is so meaningful to them, not once have I ever thought that it was a lie. They don't tend to do that kind of thing about this subject. In fact, they don't usually talk about it, and that's why we have this program so people can come and talk about it and know they're going to be respected and believed. But that's not the case everywhere. But I know when I was teaching mythology, and we talked a lot about this kind of experience and symbolic experiences, and a student would come to many students came when I was alone in my office, and they would say, I'm going to tell you something that I have never told anyone before in my life. And that's been our culture, that we're afraid to tell these truly meaningful things. And then Perisetti says, there's actually no evidence that these people have really lied about it, no evidence whatsoever. But the thing about the anecdotal evidence is that when you take it from different historical periods and all around the world and different ethnic groups, it's the same kind of things, you know? These
right.
kinds of things that we're talking about happen all over the world and in many different historical periods, and that is incredible weight of evidence, I think. So I think we should be very proud of our anecdotal experiences. But at any rate, he certainly is, and he does very well with it in the book. So it's a wonderful book for anybody who might still question the kinds of things we talk about.
Great. And what is the name of the book again?
It's Step Into the Light.
Okay.
Step Into the Light, Transform Your Fear of Death by Learning About Life After Life. And it is Piero Calvi Parisetti. He's done quite a few programs, I think, for Forever Family Foundation. And I know Bob
right.
knows him quite well. It's well, very well done and a very helpful book.
Right. And chances are it might even be on the website, because I know Forever Family has a list of books on their website. So, you know, the listeners
sure it is.
Can also...
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
Yeah, they can go there.
He's done a lot for them.
Yes, he has. He has. Well, and you know, it's interesting, too, because when, you know, their book's coming out now with, you know, he has all this information. And, you know, I remember reading a book, gosh, I think it was in the 70s or 80s. I guess it was in the 80s. And it was with Harold Sherman. And I remember this one story, and I don't know why it came to me, but I just thought, well, this would be a good place to share the story. Was he was talking about this trucker who had passed, and his nephew became a truck driver. And he said that his uncle would always come to him when he was driving. And I think it stuck with me because, you know, a lot of times I think about when you drive, I know you're watching what you're doing and you're on the road, but it's also kind of meditative in a way. You know, you can be yeah. in a meditative state somewhat. And with this story, he talked about how there was, I think, a policeman in front of him one time, and he got really close, and he actually heard his uncle say something about not getting too close to the smoky or to the policeman, you know, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it stuck with me because it reminded me that, you know, I've had some situations where I was in the car and things like that have happened with people coming through. And, I mean, and of course the story was way before, you know, before my time, but I read it, I guess, afterwards, and it hit me that, like you said, people have so many experiences, and sometimes it's just like a 2 second or a 5 second, you know, or even a minute that it happens, and if they're not focusing and they don't listen, they're going to completely miss it. And I think it's really,
yeah, right.
you know, and I think it's really important for people to remember to kind of, you know I always say pay attention, but if you get something, you know, listen, or, you know, some people may hear, you know, a lot easier, or more people might, you know, you might see something, like you might have visions, or you may dream. And if you do, try to acknowledge it, try to pay attention to it, and, you know, see what it means for you, or, you know, see if there's something that, you know, you're supposed to gather from that message. And that's important, too.
Yes, and as you always say, let them know, you know, that you do value it. You know,
right.
there was an incident, I was just thinking while you were talking, I read it, oh, some time ago in Parting Visions by Dr. Melvin Morse. There was a woman who was driving home at night, and she was on a freeway, and her car started having trouble. She was able to get it off the freeway, and she was sitting there waiting then. I guess she had called the police, and she noticed that a car drove around her and up in front and parked. And so she was trying to wave him on, you know, to say, I'm okay, I've called the police. But then he came back there, and she was trying to tell him through the glass, and he couldn't seem to hear. She wrote it down, and she said, I'm waiting for the police, I'm okay, so thanks very much, if, you know, can drive on. And he then leaned over, grabbed her keys, shoved her over, and he was going to rape her. And she said that she was just, of course, scared to death. And then he said, oh, my God. And there was between them this absolutely brilliant light suddenly appeared between the two of them. And then a man appeared in that light. And, of course, the would-be rapist was so frightened, he ran out of the car, went to his, and took off. But I was thinking, my goodness, you know, that's such
wow.
an amazing story. I thought she was, imagine her panic. on this road off of the freeway when he was trying to harm her. And then this light, and she said, when the person that was in the light, she said, I felt like I had always known that person, and I was so comforted. But she said, as soon as the man left, the light left, the man in the light left. But, you know, you would just wish that that would happen in every case, and you wonder, why does it happen sometimes and not other times? But I think the miracle is that it happened in that time.
Right, you know? Right. Wow, and that is amazing. And, you know, and that's the thing. I think, you know, that reminds me of, and I mean, kind of in a roundabout way, of a story of when my son was little and he was still in a crib and he was crying, and I was, you know, standing outside the room, and I was just like, oh, gosh, do I let him cry or do I go in there? And
no,
all of
bet.
A sudden, you know, he let out this really strange scream. And I ran in there, and he was pointing to the corner of the room saying, that man wants me to take a nap. And, you know, and I remember thinking, oh, my gosh, and I turn around and look, and I'm like, of course, I didn't see anybody at that time, but there was somebody there. And it was just kind of like, wow, why did that happen? You know, I mean, there's that why again. And it was just one
yeah.
of those things that it was, you know, it was New Year's Eve, and I knew we were going to be up late that night, and I was hoping that, you know, he could take a nap. And of course, after that, he didn't take a nap, and I didn't even make him take a nap, and I think he was up till, you know, 1 that morning. But it was just,
oh, wow.
you know, it's just one of those things that why would something like that happen, you know?
Yeah, we have the why, but I think the acknowledging that the fact that these very incredible things happen, and they cannot be explained in the old scientific worldview. We know that worldview is inaccurate because we are experiencing things that worldview has nothing to say about. And, of course, we know with quantum physics, we have a science that can begin to explain some of these things. But I think
Heather
it's just
from
a...
Canada. Heather from Canada.
Oh, agree. Okay, well, do you want me to pause and we'll go ahead and take Heather from Canada?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, Heather, are you there?
Hi, I'm here. Yep, I'm here.
Hi, Heather.
Hi.
Is there a story you would like to share with us?
I have a story, yeah. So my husband passed away not quite 1 year ago, and I've had a lot, thank you, I've had a lot of after-death communication from him, but there's one story in particular that I think is probably one of the more profound.
Mm-hmm.
So after he had passed, you know, you tend to worry about financial situations, and I'm actually pursuing my PhD right now. So, you know, obviously not working, and stipends are not a huge sum of money. So I had gone ahead and, you know, applied for a multitude of scholarships. And months had gone by and nothing had come through. And, you know, I was having, like, bills coming up, unexpected things. And so for, you know, several days, I had just been in deep, deep despair about, you know, what was going to happen with my finances and just feeling really sort of awful about it. Like, I'd been thinking that I was going to have to sell some of the things, potentially, like, cash in, you know, retirement savings.
Right.
And so one evening at sort of the pit, the sort of, you know, epic point of it all where I was thinking, well, you know, maybe I'm just going to have to, like, stop this PhD and get a job. And so I was lying in my bed and just so, like, just terrible, terrible despair. And sort of out of nowhere, this, like, complete calm came over me. And I lay there and just sort of felt, like, really calm. It felt really good for just a second.
Mm-hmm.
And then in that moment, I heard to say hear with your ears
yes.
is not correct. Yeah, I heard in my mind. And to add to that, it wasn't just that I heard the words. I saw the words and I felt mm-hmm. the words, which has always been difficult to describe to people if you haven't had it happen. But it was sort of this full body experience where, you know, every sense was touched by these words. And what I heard was, everything will be fine, babe. You'll see. Just like that, It just came over me. It was so confident. It was so reassuring. And I, you know, gasped and sat up in bed. I couldn't believe what had just happened. Like, I just had this amazing experience. Like, this was the greatest thing ever, you know. And I almost immediately fell asleep right after. The next morning I woke up. Yeah. The next morning I woke up, you know, sort of like light as a feather and walking on clouds. I had, you know, I'd heard my husband speak to me, and I just believed it. Everything was going to be fine. But what did that mean, really? But I had had this experience, so that, you know, everything felt fine. Well, I ended up going and opening up my computer, and I checked my university email, and I had won a $100,000 scholarship.
Oh, wow.
And not only that, but the money had deposited to my account the day before.
Oh, my gosh. That's wonderful.
That's amazing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
see?
And all I could think was those words. Yeah, everything will be fine, babe. You'll see.
Yep. And you did.
Oh, you did.
Goodness, that is such an amazing
story. Yeah, I surely did. Yeah.
I love it. I just love that. I mean, that's how beautiful, you know, that's great. I mean, it's as good as it gets with that is what he could give you. And, I mean, oh, don't you just, I mean, doesn't that just, I don't even know what to say to that because it just warms your heart. You know, it's so amazing
and beautiful. It really did. Yeah, it really did. You know, like, if you asked me what would I choose, the experience or the money, I would choose the experience. But the fact that the experience also provided the money made it all the better.
Right. And you know, and like you said, you felt it through your whole body. And you know, like you said, trying to explain it to someone else, you know, they may not get it, but you know, you knew and you know.
Yeah.
And on top of it, I loved afterwards you even said, you know, I fell asleep after that. It was that wave of peace came right over you, and it just, that's all you needed. And boom, that was it. You were out. And I mean, what an amazing and incredible experience. I'm so glad that you called.
Thank you.
I'm
going to be telling people that story.
Yeah, it's an amazing story. And I mean, and really every story that we are hearing, they are incredible and they are beautiful and they all come in their own way. And that's what I find, you know, so beautiful about this show is that, you know, our loved ones really do exist. They really are around us. And, you know, we may not always feel them every day, but I've always said they come when you need them. And they come in their own way, and that's exactly what happened, really, even in both of these stories. I mean, that's true.
Well, and you're so right, Janet, because the other one prior is just as amazing. I mean, he saved her life, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yes, they all are.
I have had, like, doubts sometimes. Like, you know, you sort of toggle back and forth.
Sure.
In the beginning, right? And that was really the turning point, because I knew it was him. Like, it was like I had a full knowing that came over me. It was
so,
him. There was no question in that moment. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's so good.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Oh, sure.
Okay,
thank you for calling in.
Okay, bye-bye.
Oh, my goodness. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow, what a beautiful, I mean, both stories, I mean, are so beautiful.
They are, yes, absolutely.
I know, it's like deep breath after that. And I mean, you know, I think that it's important, too, because no matter, you know, whether you can, you know, I mean, she explained that story beautifully, and I think, though, saying, too, with how you feel about something, and, you know, like, she felt that, and she knew, and the same, you know, whether it was Heather or Ann, and Ann felt that with her son, and she knew. And I think that it's such a personal experience that, you know, you can't let anybody take any of it away from you, no matter what the story is. It's your story, and it's, you know, it's what you're experiencing. And I just think that, you know, both of those women were paying total attention to what was going on. And I think, you know, it, even like as Heather was saying, you know, she was going through a struggle, and, you know, you worry about different things, and how is this going to play out, and how is this going to happen, And I think, too, once he came through, I mean, you could just hear the trust and the belief and the love in that she instantly knew it was okay. And I mean, and how wonderful to wake up and see what happens in, you know, your email. I mean, you know, that was a bonus, like she said.
Yeah, very dramatic. Both stories were very dramatic. I've had the feeling of that things would be okay, but they weren't in a dramatic way, and as both of these stories were. I've just had the feeling, just that feeling that it will be all right. It'll be okay. Don't worry about it. But if these two stories were beautiful because they were so precise and powerful and dramatic, and yet, even though mine was very low key, it did help me. You know, it helped me carry on, and I just sort of do. But there, sometimes it comes in very dramatic ways, and other times just very sort of quiet, kind of knowing.
Well, and you know, I mean, it can be something simple, and it can come later. It doesn't have to come, you know, right away. It could be like, you know, in Anne's case, it was years later. In Heather's case, I forgot exactly how long she said it was, under a year or but
yeah, one year, I think.
Right, and I think that, you know, like I had a situation where, you know, I've had cancer twice, and I was going back to get a test one time, and my mom kept saying, you need to get a PET scan, you need to get a PET scan. And I was, you know, I would go back and forth with her and say, you know, they're saying I don't need one. They're saying I'm okay. They're saying I don't need one. And we would do this, like, you know, every couple months. She'd say, well, I really think you need to get a PET scan. And I'm like, well, Mom, you're not the doctor. I think the doctor, you know. And we would go back and forth and kind of, you know, and she's just like, I just want to make sure you're okay. And I'm like, I understand. And I loved that she cared. Well, right after my mom passed, that next month I had to go in for a checkup, and the doctor says to me, you know, I want you to get a PET scan. And I just was like, okay, Mom, you know, I mean, I was just like, okay, Mom, I got the message. And, you know, and it happened so perfectly that it was just like, I knew what my mom was up to on the other side. You know, she was there to give me some trouble and say, I won, you're going to get it.
You're thinking of the physical condition. Another experience that I think of sometimes is the woman told this story. She and her husband were in bed, and suddenly she woke up and she saw two men standing at the feet at the foot of her bed, their bed, and they were in white suits, and there was like light just kind of coming out of them. It was just very profound light in both of them. And she started, you know, with her hand, she didn't want to take her eyes off him, trying to wake him up. And then she realized he was awake. He was seeing it, too. So both of them saw this, and they didn't know what to make of it. Well, then the next night, the same thing happened. And so it was two nights in a row.
Wow.
And that night, they were so, they just didn't know what to make of it, and scared. So they sat up in the living room with the light on all night, because they didn't know what to do with it. Well, the third night, she experienced a ball of light that was there. And it seemed like it just kind of was there for her and flowed through her. And she had arthritis so bad that sometimes she couldn't even stand up. She'd had it for years, and it was just killing her, and could hardly walk, could hardly stand up, and she didn't have it. I mean, after that, she never had arthritis again.
Wow. So there was like a healing.
Just profound healing, I mean, for arthritis, I mean, and having had it for years. And the person who told the story, that was also, I think, in Parting Visions by Dr. Morris. He said he investigated people who knew them and knew her, and they said it was true. She had it very, very seriously. And after that time, she never had it again. He said that was true with the story she told.
Wow, that is amazing. That is, you know, it sounds like, you know, some kind of spontaneous healing from the, I guess, spirits on the other side. And then again, you know, that's pretty crazy, but it's beautiful. You know,
It's amazing, because you know, how many people would like to have that happen, and you would just wish you could call that forth. You know, when people are in pain, as she was. It was a beautiful gift, for sure.
Yeah, that is. And you know, that kind of reminds me of the line in on I think it's your first book by P.S.D. that says, live each moment fully, then let it go. And I bet she was happy to have that moment, and then she was able to let go of all that pain and just probably, you know, live a life that she didn't think she was going to have, you know?
Ever have, no. I'm sure it was such a profound gift. And also beautiful was the fact that her husband saw it, too. It wasn't just something she had to tell him. You know, I saw these two men standing at the end of the bed. And, you know, I mean, the fact that he saw it and he could relate to it totally with her, that's also a great gift.
Yeah, and I wonder, too, that maybe was it because they were so in tune, or was it separately? I mean, you know, it could have been both ways, that maybe he was experiencing it because he knew what pain she was in, and he was probably wanting anything he could do or asking for any way that he could help her, and so they were both putting that energy out. Maybe they were both receiving it in their own way.
You know, that's a very good point. You know, what was going on in him that allowed him to see it. Yeah, it could very well be. That's really good, you know, good insight.
Well, I just think, you know, sometimes it, you know, when you make an intention, and I always say that too with people when they're, you know, they want a connection with a loved one from the other side, and they're, you know, I'm like, well, you know, make that intention out to them. And most people do. I mean, don't get me wrong, that when you're in grief, you want someone that, you know, you want your loved one to come through, and you're asking. But, you know, when you're, you know, making that intention in your mind and saying that, then it also kind of brings you on this kind of new path of, you know, discovery or, you know, a new experience, because you're now open in a way that you weren't open before. So you're kind of allowing, and I mean, you know, grief does that.
Well, absolutely. It focuses you on the other world. It focuses you in the direction of the invisible, the unseen, you know, but certainly there. Yeah, it refocuses us for sure.
Right, right. Well, and it makes us, I don't know how, if you felt this way, but you become more mentally alert on some level.
Yeah.
And it's like, in one sense, you know, I always say, you know, that grief can freeze us, or it can free us, or it can do both, but it makes you a little more mentally alert in a different way that you've never been, because you're in a place that you didn't want to be, that you were forced into, and so now you have to learn to live a new way. And so you're in another place that you've never been, and it kind of makes you alert on a different level that can open you up, you know, to something like that, like maybe seeing someone or having an experience or hearing something or, you know, whatever it may be in whatever way it may be.
Yes, there's something very profound about coming to that line between this world and the next one. And when people die, you live very close to that line. And I think maybe always we live closer to it. And I think that would be very good for us to live very close, to know how to live close to those monumental energies, you know.
Right. Well,
but certainly death will take us there.
Right. I read once, and I don't even remember what book this was in, but you know, I sometimes say, well, they're on the other side, or they're, you know, in the next dimension, or they're right here, but they're still right here with us. And I was reading something, and it said one time, we're just around the corner. And I thought, oh, I like that. I like that. You know, it's like they're just right there.
You know, I was thinking about the light in the bed. The mother of one of Pishti's friends told me this story. She had been an alcoholic and even lost her children for a while. And when she got them back, and she was trying so hard never to be addicted again, but she was so afraid because she just was afraid she couldn't do it. And she said that she prayed every night and so intensely. She prayed so hard, her whole heart and body was in it, that please never let me drink again. I want to keep my children. I want to live a life, a sober life. And she said she did that for quite a while. But she said one night there was a man standing at the foot of her bed, light, beautiful light. And he told her not to worry, that she would never drink again, that this would not happen. And he told her so many details about her life in the future and what she would be doing, with whom she'd be working, and so on. And it all was true. It all came to pass, so to speak. And I just thought, you know, here is this woman. I mean, addiction is an illness. I mean, it is a disease, because mm-hmm. with all her heart, she did not want to do that. But, you know, when there is that hijacking, as they say, of the mind, and that she had that reassurance from Spirit, they saw how incredibly she wanted to be sober and be there for her children. And that Spirit was present, and it changed her life.
Wow, yeah, for sure. And that's the thing, is I think, you know, I always talk about when you're going through something, that, you know, our loved ones, they can feel that energy, and they feel that pull, or they feel that, you know, reaching out to them. And I think it's, you know, they come to us as we need, and they're, you know, but they feel it. And I know that, you know, there's people that say, oh, they're around 24/7. And I'm kind of like, I don't think I'm going to be around 24/7 all the time, because I know how boring I am, you know? So it's like, but I do feel like that there is an energy or a light or your spirit, that when you really need them and you reach out, that they're there. And how many people do you hear that from that say, gosh, you know, I haven't felt their energy, and all of a sudden I felt it. And it's like, that's because you were open and you were, you know, focused or paying attention, and they came through, or you needed it. And there's, you know, and that's why they're there. And I just think that it's important to remember that, you know, our loved ones are around all the time, and they are around when we need them. And they, you know, you don't have to constantly say, you know, are you still here? Are you still here? Are you still here? You know, they're there when you need them. And I think that's the important thing too. And to remember
and,
that.
You know, even spirits don't know, you know, we don't know.
Right. Well, yeah, I've had a number of that, you know, where you know, they come through and they give you a message, or, you know, it's someone you haven't seen in a long time, or it's someone I don't even know, and then, you know, I have a reading, and there they are, and, you know, so, yeah, they're around. I mean, I love when they come through and I hear a word, or I hear something, because I usually see visions, so if I hear something, that always makes me really excited that I've just heard something, so then, you know, that's kind of cool, too. So, you know, I love those kind of messages.
They're here.
right. So it looks like we're winding down. Do you have any last words, Betty, before I say our little prayer?
I think we're ready for the prayer.
Okay. Then I will go ahead and, you know, thank everyone for calling in, and for all the listeners. And our Mahayama prayer is, may all beings everywhere with whom we are inseparably interconnected be fulfilled, awakened, liberated, and free. May there be peace in this world and throughout the entire universe, and may we all together complete the spiritual journey. So thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you, Betty.
Thank you, Janet. Thank you.
And everyone have a wonderful night.
Thank you.